waiting this morning, not because I get to preach, because I have to preach, but because I get to come to the house of the Lord and meet with my brothers and sisters that I love so well. And I hope that you've been praying for the service this morning. You know, it really doesn't make any difference who stands up here before us if the Lord blesses them, and if the Lord blesses you to receive it. So let's be praying for one another as both Brother Kenny and I stand before you this morning. I want to, for a few minutes this morning, look at a certain topic in the Bible. It's taught, and it's the idea of the covenants of God. The Bible teaches that there are many covenants, and we hear a lot talked about the covenants of the Bible. And we usually always begin a discussion on the covenants by explaining and defining covenant as being a promise. And that is pretty close to the fact that a covenant is a promise. It's a contract. But in a biblical sense, I like to look at it as a promise, that God has made us some promises. And I want to look at a few of these covenants this morning and what time we stand before you, so we might have a better understanding of a couple of major covenants that we have. I want to begin in Genesis chapter 9. Well, actually, Genesis chapter 8, the very last part of that, last three verses of Genesis chapter 8. Now, this was after the flood, after the earth had been destroyed by water. And in verse 20, it tells that after Noah had come out of that ark, and he built an altar there, and he made an offering unto the Lord. And in verse 21, it says, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. He said, I will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake. And he said in verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? Now, the next time you want to fuss about summer being too hot and winter being too cold, just remember the Lord has promised that they're going to keep on being that way till the Lord comes back. And then the Lord told us over in verse 11 of chapter 9, he said, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. There's a promise we have from God. God, because of the wickedness of man, had destroyed this earth by this worldwide flood. And I think it's kind of interesting when you look at the scientists. You know, their intelligence sometimes just overwhelms me. I'm being sarcastic. You know, it just overwhelms me. I used to study about all these things, and, you know, the people trying to prove this idea of evolution, and they kept coming up in different formations and different things that existed in this world, and they kept talking about that there must have been, a local flood. You know, and it's amazing that almost every place and every corner of this earth had to have a local flood to explain some of the geologic formations that was there. Well, we're going to have local floods from time to time, but there was one big one. And yes, Lubbock got more than a sprinkle. I mean, I know that's a common, funny little story. We had it too. The Lord destroyed this earth. He'd made a promise. He's not going to do it again. Now, he didn't say anything about destroying it by fire. That's still going to happen someday. But he said, I'm not going to destroy this earth by water anymore. So he made that covenant with us, with all the inhabitants of this earth, and he made a mark so that we would remember that covenant. And we all know what that is. He said in verse 13, and I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. So there's a mark, a token, and it's the rainbow. So every time that we see a rainbow, we ought to remember God's promise unto us that he'll never again destroy this world by water. Now you go over to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord had spoke here in the first few verses. He spoke unto Abraham, and he said, "Get out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation." So here's a promise, a covenant that God had made with Abraham. He said, "I'll make of thee a great nation." And if you turn over then to chapter 17 of Genesis, he said, in renewing this covenant to Abraham, the Lord said, "My covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be the father of many nations." So he made a covenant there. And you remember back over in Genesis chapter 9 when we looked at that token of that covenant? There was a token of this covenant made, and it's contained down in verse 10. He said, "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised." That's the token. That's the sign, the mark of the covenant that we have between God and Abraham. He's going to make of Abraham a great nation. Now, let me stop right here and mention something I probably should have mentioned at the beginning. In any contract, any promise, in any covenant, you can break it up into two ways, whether it's conditional or unconditional. Now, when God told Noah and told us that I'll not again destroy this earth by water, that's unconditional, isn't it? That's not going to change. No matter what you and I do, that's not going to change that. But there are some covenants that God made that are conditional. Conditional upon obedience. And there's a faction of that here in this one. Now, let's turn over to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, we have another covenant. Here's a covenant that the Lord made with Moses, and it made with the nation of Israel. And the covenant was God's promise to bring them out of the promised land, bring them out of wilderness into the promised land, excuse me. He said in verse 20 of Exodus chapter 23, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place where I have prepared." Here was a promise that God made. And what was the mark or the token of that promise? It was the angel there that was guiding them. But was this conditional or an unconditional promise? Look down in verse 22. "But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries." When this promise was made unto the people of Israel here to bless them, as a government, as a nation, it was conditional. It was a promise. It was a covenant. It was a contract to bless them, that he would fight the battles for them, he would be with them, that they would prosper. But it was conditional upon their obedience. Now, by the fact that God says, "I'm going to do this if you're obedient," and they weren't obedient and God did something else, does that change God? Doesn't change God a bit. You know, it's just like if I said, you know, if it rains to doesn't rain this afternoon, I'm going to wash my car. But if it rains this afternoon, I'll wait till next week to wash my car. Doesn't change my mind any bit. I've got a plan. God had a plan. You're obedient, I'll bless you. You're disobedient, and you're going to experience the curses and the consequences of sin. So here's this covenant. Now there's another covenant I want to mention. It's over in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's a covenant that God made with David. King David here, chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, verse 12. "The Lord said, when thy day shall be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." Now we all know he's talking about Solomon, don't we? But it goes a little bit further than that. Verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, is David's kingdom still going? But he said right here, I'll establish it forever. Well, he's speaking about something else. He's speaking about one that would come from David. He was speaking about our Lord and Savior. You know, there may not be a nation of Israel and a physical throne over there in Israel that's coming from the house of David, but there's a spiritual kingdom that will be forever. And you know all these other covenants that had a mark and a token? What's the token of this promise? What's the token of this covenant here that God made? And you turn over to Isaiah, and we go to Isaiah chapter 7. In verse 13, we'll find out what the token is, the sign of this covenant that God made with David, that his house would continue forever. And he says, "Hear now, house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary man, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." That's the token. That's the mark of this covenant, this promise that God made with David. He said, "There's going to raise up one in your household, David. This, your kingdom will be forever. And it's going to be through this one called Emmanuel." And I love the fulfillment of this prophecy. One of my favorite verses in scriptures is, I learned just as a child, Matthew 1:21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Emmanuel is the Old Testament rendering of that word. That's the same name, Emmanuel and Jesus. Here was a covenant. Here was a promise. Now, as we look in the scriptures, and I want to turn over to Jeremiah 31. We look in the scriptures at this covenant. We try to look at a lot of these different covenants just to give you an idea about what a covenant is, a promise. And it has a token and a sign. It can be unconditional. It can be conditional. As we get to the scriptures and you study your Bible, you'll find out that there's two major covenants. Now, this gets real complicated, so pay attention. All right? Everybody's paying attention. This is complicated. Now, you don't have to have a college degree to understand this, but it would help. All right, there's two covenants. There's the old covenant and the new covenant. All right, I know that's complicated. And God made it a little bit simpler to help people like me that need all kinds of help. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Two different covenants, primarily in each one of these two divisions of our Bible. And he told us in Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So he's saying here, as we look at these two major covenants, there's been a covenant here. But he said there's something wrong with the old covenant. Says, "I'm going to have a new covenant." Verse 33 says, "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them until the greatest, saith the Lord." And then I like this part, "And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to like this new covenant, don't you? So we have these two covenants, the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant dealt with outward works. The Old Testament religion was outward. The things that you did, the things that you said, the offerings that you made, the offerings and the sacrifices that you made unto God, the things that you did outwardly, the new covenant is one that's inwardly. Now, I want to take a few minutes here, what time I want to take before I step out of the way. And I want to compare just a few things about this old covenant and the new covenant. Now, the first thing I want to mention is, you know, I made that little statement a few minutes ago about that some of these covenants can be conditional and some of them can be unconditional. That old covenant was conditional. You obeyed or else. And the or else part wasn't any fun. You know, that was getting the wrath of God. Obey or else. But this new covenant is unconditional. The Lord said he would pardon our iniquities. He'd remember our sin no more. And we know how that was going to happen. But think about this comparison between this old covenant, what we had in the Old Testament, and the new covenant that we read about in the New Testament. And we think, first of all, about the mediator. And you know what a mediator is, don't you? A mediator is a person that stands between two parties. And you can study that out, and it's kind of, the picture is given that a mediator is a person that has a hand on the shoulder of each one of the parties. He's a go-between. He's a friend of both parties, and he's going to come to something that's, you know, to mediate a dispute, to bring you back to a point of peace and harmony and fellowship. Who was a mediator of that Old Testament, Old Covenant, the law service? It was Moses and the law of Moses, the law that he had brought. Who's a mediator of the New Testament? It's Jesus Christ himself. Now, how can it be that Jesus Christ can be a mediator of his covenant? How can he have his hands on the shoulder of each one? That's because Jesus Christ was 100% man and he's 100% God. That's why Jesus Christ had to come to this earth and be born as a man, so that he could be a mediator, so he could be a man to take that role. All right, what about the promises that we have of these two covenants? You know, that Old Testament, that old covenant, you know, those were good promises. There wasn't anything wrong with that old covenant, with the covenant itself. But what about this new covenant? Now how am I going to say that? If the Old Testament was good, the old covenant was good, what am I going to say about the New Testament? It's better. And I'm not just making that up. We can go over to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, "But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry. How much also is he the mediator of a better covenant?" So we have a better ministry, a better promise. Now, if that old testament, I keep confusing covenant and testament. I'm trying to make it one word, but it's not. So when I say covenant, that's what I'm meaning. I can't make up my mind whether I want to say covenant or testament. All right, now, if you look at this idea, if that old covenant was good, does that mean that it didn't have any faults? It had some faults. What was a fault with that old covenant? It was man. The weakness was in man. What about the new covenant? Is it faultless? Is it perfect? It is. It's perfect. Back again in Hebrews 8 and in verse 7, just below where we were just a second ago, it said, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." So there's no fault with this second covenant. And then there's an idea of what I'll call the image. In the Old Testament, we had shadows presented. shadows that were pointing towards something, shadows that were symbolic of something. But when we get to the New Testament, we have the very image itself. Now, the reason that's important to us is because that it explains the reason, one of the reasons we had that Old Testament. It was to help us understand and look forward to what's coming in the New Testament. What about the effect? What kind of effect did we have in this old covenant? If there were sins, could it make the sinner perfect? No. What about the New Testament, this new covenant? Can we become perfect? Yeah, here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So we have a better effect under this New Testament, don't we? What about sins? What does the Old Testament say about sins? What are that offerings and all those things that were done over in the Old Testament? What was that saying about sins? It was a remembrance of sins. Those Old Testament offerings never washed away one single sin. They never atoned for a single sin. They were merely there for remembrance, for reminder. But in this New Testament, we have something a lot better. We have the actual forgiveness of those sins. And if you study this, and I keep staying over here in the book of Hebrews, and if you keep looking at these offerings that are made, we know that under both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was blood used. But was there a difference? In the Old Testament, we had the blood of bulls and of goats. Now, if you read chapter 10 of Hebrews, you find out that it's not possible that that take away sins. But there's blood in the New Testament and a new covenant. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. As we sang that song a few minutes ago, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what was the purpose of the old covenant? What was the reason that we had the Old Testament? What was the reason that we had the law? It was to make our sins known. It was to bring our sins to light. What about the New Testament? The New Covenant. It was to make us free from those sins that we knew about. What is it that says over in, Romans 8, 2, "For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." And that old covenant, what kind of future does it have? None. It's gone. It's done away with. What about the New Testament, the New Covenant? It's here. We're living under it. We have this old covenant, the Old Testament, the law covenant. It's gone. It's done away with. We have something better now. We have the covenant of grace. We have forgiveness of sins. And you know, it's still important for us, though, to study that old covenant, because we still need to have an understanding of sins. Sins in this world haven't gone away. There's still sinners in this world. But when we see those sins, we need to remember that there's a covenant of grace. Jesus Christ is a mediator. He shed his blood for us. We have this unconditional covenant of grace. Jesus Christ is going to die for us. He has died for us. And because of that, we're going to be with him in heaven. Let's rejoice in this new covenant that we have. Come ahead, Brother Keating.